Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
Laughter. Our passage is filled with laughter, permeates with laughter. Laughter surrounding a birth. A promised birth. A miraculous birth. The birth of Isaac. When Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 years old. A century old. Sarah, his wife, was in her 90s, almost a century old. They were long past having children. In fact, it was physically impossible for them to have children. But God had promised. Decades before, he had promised that Abraham would have a son. A son through Sarah. And with God, nothing is impossible. For the one who spoke creation into being, the one who said, "Let there be light," and light came to be, could easily make it possible for a 100-year-old couple to have a child. And he did. When God first told Abraham he would have a child, Abraham fell on his face and laughed, a laugh of wonder, a laugh of resignation. In response, the Lord told Abraham that when his son was born, that he was to name him Isaac. Isaac means he laughs. When Sarah overheard God telling Abraham that she would have a child, she would have a son in a year, she laughed. A laugh of disbelief. A laugh of incredulity. Her childbearing days were gone. And besides, she did not wish to revisit the years and years of disappointment and sorrow at not being able to bear children. But now, in our passage, she laughed with joy. Laughed as she held her own child, a child promised by God, a child given by God, a son of grace. And she spoke these words, listen again to verse 6. "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me." The promise, the circumstances, the blessing, the gift, the child will be the cause of joyful laughter for all who hear. Joy in what God has done. Joy like Christmas. But not as deep as Christmas. For at Christmas, we also celebrate a promised child of God, a child given by God, a descendant of Abraham through Isaac. At Christmas, we celebrate a miracle, God making the impossible possible for the virgin conceived and bore a son. The very Son of God, the Word made flesh, Jesus, a Son of grace, whose name does not mean laughter, but Savior. The Lord saves. For that's what he came to do. Save. Save you from your sin. Save you from death. Save you from the wrath to come. Save you through his death and resurrection. He came to free you and give you joy in that freedom, joy and laughter, joy in what God has done for you. The birth of Isaac was the occasion of laughter, but the laughter did not stop at his birth. Isaac grew. And when Isaac was old enough to be weaned, Abraham gave a feast. Abraham gave a party, a celebration. And at the party, at the feast, Ishmael laughs. Now, Ishmael was also the son of Abraham. He was the firstborn son of Abraham. His mother was Hagar, an Egyptian slave who belonged to Sarah. Now, impatient for a child, Sarah had given Hagar to Abraham to be his wife. And Sarah's desire, Sarah's hope, Sarah's plan was that she and Abraham would have a child through her servant. And Abraham agrees. And Hagar does indeed have a son, Ishmael. Ishmael was a son. Ishmael was an heir, but he was still a servant. He was still a slave because he was the son of a slave. Now, not surprisingly, tension grew in Abraham's household over the years. Strife and discord grew between the two wives, one childless and one a servant with a son, until it finally explodes in our passage. At the party, Ishmael, who by this time is a teenager, laughs. He laughs at Isaac. Now, this is not a laugh of joy. This is not a laugh of mirth. This is not a laugh of disbelief or even resignation. This is a laugh of mockery, ridicule. The why? We're not told. And was it simply a passing laugh? Did Isaac do something silly? Was it deliberately malicious? We're not told. But Sarah heard it. And Sarah was not pleased. Like a mother bear who fears her cub is threatened, she lashes out in fury. Hagar's boy would not laugh at her child, nor would he share in any inheritance with her child, because that is ultimately her concern. Listen again to her words to Abraham in verse 9. Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. Cast them out. Send them away. She doesn't even call them by name. And with this, the party's over. Well, these words of Sarah's displeased Abraham. Ishmael was his son. He had raised him. He'd watched him grow into a young man. And as Abraham wrestled with Sarah's command, God spoke to him. Listen to part of verse 12 again. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. Cast them out. For Sarah's command is God's will. Her desire is God's plan. Isaac will be Abraham's heir, the sole heir, the one through whom God's promises will be fulfilled. So once again, Abraham walks in faith. Once again, Abraham obeys God's word. Rising early, Abraham sees them off. Surely a painful parting. And the two, mother and son, set out alone. No home, no destination. But Hagar and Ishmael are not entirely forsaken. God was with Ishmael in the wilderness. God saves them. As the son of Abraham, God would bless Ishmael, prosper Ishmael, make him into a great nation. Now, our New Testament reading was from Galatians. In it, Paul says that this story from Genesis is an allegory. Actually, he says it can be interpreted allegorically. Now, the difference in those two statements may be minor, but the implications are not, and here's why. An allegory is a story that has a hidden meaning. Typically, allegories are not real. They are not true. They did not actually happen. Think of Pilgrim's Progress or The Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe. But the story of Abraham is true. It's real. It happened. So Paul says, not that it's an allegory, but it can be interpreted allegorically. Listen to verse 24 again, part of our New Testament reading from Galatians 4. Paul writes, "These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children from slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. Now, the two women and their two sons stand for two covenants that correspond to two cities. Now, hear that one more time and hang in there with me. The two women and their two sons stand for two covenants that correspond to two cities. Hagar is Mount Sinai. Sinai is the mountain where God gave his people the law, where God gave his people the Ten Commandments. Therefore, Hagar represents the law and the old covenant under the law, a covenant of works. Now, covenant is how God relates to his people. It's a word that you'll read over and over and over again in the Bible. Covenant is how God relates to his people. God makes covenant with his people. And at its heart, a covenant is a relationship. A relationship with the living God. And it's a relationship initiated by God. It's a relationship guaranteed by God. The covenant of works is a covenant under the law. And the law is what you do or don't do. The law is whether you obey it or you don't. It relies on your act. It relies on your will. It relies on your works to make you right, right before God, right with God. Paul says it's Sinai. It's Hagar. And the children of this covenant are like Ishmael, slaves, spiritual slaves, who are born of the flesh. Now, through this allegory, Paul is saying that the end result of the law is slavery, spiritual slavery. Reliance on the law is slavery. Legalism is slavery. And he says that's Jerusalem. Jerusalem in his own day, Jerusalem in the first century, Jewish religion in the first century, which is what the Galatians were trying to be like. The Galatian Christians, the original audience of this letter, were turning to a different gospel. They were turning to a distorted gospel, a false gospel, a gospel different than the one that the Apostle Paul had preached to them, taught them when he was with them. These Galatian Christians were listening to teachers, preachers who had come to them who said that in order to be a Christian, in order to follow Jesus, in order to be right with God, you had to first follow the law. In other words, in order to be a Christian, you had to first become a Jew. And Paul is telling them, he's telling this community, by doing this, you are entering slavery. By doing this, you are sons of Hagar. You're like Ishmael. Now, these words weren't just written for the first century, they're also written for you. Do you ultimately rest in what you do or don't do? Sure, you know the gospel, the good news, but when it comes down to it, are you relying on what you do or don't do? And then maybe you add Jesus to it. Now search your heart, be honest. Do you think it makes you right before God? Do you think it enables you to stand before God? If so, Paul says you're like Ishmael. If your heart tends to that, Paul says you're like Ishmael. You're a child of Hagar. You are a spiritual slave, not an heir. On the other hand, Paul says that Sarah represents another covenant, a new covenant, the covenant of grace. The covenant made by Jesus Christ, a covenant given through Jesus Christ, where it's not what you do or don't do, it's what God has done for you. In and through his Son, in and through Jesus Christ. You are made right with God through him. Because he came to set you free. He came to free you from bondage. He came to free you from slavery to sin and to death and to the law with the promise that you are his and that you will be with him forever, forever in the New Jerusalem, the Jerusalem above, the heavenly city where Jesus is now alive and reigning, the Jerusalem above. That's Sarah. And the children of this covenant, the children of this city, are like Isaac. Children of promise, born of the Spirit, born free. Now, the question that Paul really poses is this: who is your mama? Who is your mama? Now, the Galatians would have said their father is Abraham, that they were descendants of Abraham. And the teachers and preachers who told them that they must first be Jews before being Christians would have said their father is Abraham. They were descendants of Abraham. And Paul says, great. Abraham's your father. Abraham's your daddy. Well, Abraham had two sons. One was a slave and one was free. The question really is, who's your mama? Is it Hagar? Or is it Sarah? How about you? Are you a child of Hagar or a child of Sarah? Are you in slavery, spiritual slavery? Are you in bondage to sin or to the law? Or are you free? Are you a child of the promise, a child of grace, a status given only through Jesus Christ, only through the Son of God who invites you into the covenant of grace by faith? Following him and trusting him and believing in him and relying on him. Through Jesus, you're like Isaac. A free son, a free daughter, an heir. And that's the church. The church is made of children of Sarah, those who belong to the Jerusalem above, those in the covenant of grace, free children of the Father by faith. Paul is saying there's no place for legalism in the church. There's no need for spiritual slavery in the church. And to show this, Paul quotes from our Genesis passage. He quotes from the furious words of Sarah at the party, cast out the slave woman and her son out of the church and out of your heart. In Jesus, you're an heir. Free. Free to follow, free to obey, free to serve the one who has set you free. The very Son of God, whose salvation brings joy. Joy and laughter.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.